Just turn to your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor, because he's alive. Come on, get the other neighbor, make sure they understand the message. Say, neighbor, because he's alive. Because he's alive. Let us pray. God, I love you and I thank you, God, for this opportunity to share your word. God, I have studied, God, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but God, I need your help. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Now consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor and let them know the message one more time. Say, neighbor, because he's alive. Because he's alive. This is the period. This is the period of the year where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A lot of times people often think that resurrection is just falls on that one Sunday where we celebrate, which the world identifies as Easter. We identify as the resurrection because we celebrate the fact that Jesus did die and was buried and got up from all power in his hands. There are different liturgical periods during the course of the year. At the beginning of the year, we celebrate the period of Epiphany. And then after Epiphany, we deal with the period of Lent. And then after Lent, we deal with resurrection. And following resurrection, we deal with Pentecost, which deals with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But the period that we are in right now, it is the period of the resurrection. We talk about Jesus Christ dying on the cross and getting up from the grave. A few weeks ago, we talked about the message to get the message out. We started out in the 9th and 10th chapters of the book of Acts. And one of the highlights from Acts 10 and 34, in particular in that verse, we found out that Peter declared these words, that God is no respecter of person. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to eliminate our preconceived ideas of who can be saved. I just want to let you know that Jesus Christ died for everybody. He died for you and he died for me. He died for tall people and he died for short people like my wife. He died for skinny people and he died for wide people. I think that's the best way to say that. He died for black people, white people, Asian people, Hispanics. He died for Muslims and he died for Hindus. He died for Jehovah's Witnesses. He died for everybody because of the fact that the Bible says that he died for us all. Somebody say all. That means Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. He died for us all. And the Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world. That means the inhabitants of the world. That means you, me, and everybody. He died for the world, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting. Died for everybody, but is conditional about the gift of everlasting life that you need to receive him for yourself. Not everybody receives him, but he did die for everybody. Let me rewind that. He did die for everybody, but it's only those who receive him will receive the gift of everlasting life. Somebody say, whosoever shall believe on him shall have everlasting life. This morning we want to continue with this text beginning at the 36th verse. And just to give a little recap for those who may not have been here, we were talking about a man named Cornelius. Cornelius was of Caesarea. He was the Italian band. Everybody know that I'm a quarter Italian? That's why I talk with my hands. But he was in the Italian band, but he was also a Gentile. Somebody say a Gentile. And we know about Gentiles that Gentiles did not hang out with Jews. Matter of fact, Jews had nothing to do with Gentiles alone. If you remember when Jesus went to the woman of the well and he asked her for some water to drink, and she says, look, you ain't even supposed to be around me. And you're asking me for something to drink. And Jesus says that if you give me some of that water, I'll give you some other water that will cause you never to thirst again. And so there was a challenge in the society at this time about Jews hanging out with Gentiles. But this man Cornelius, there was something significant about him. When you read Acts, the 10th chapter, in the 3rd verse, you'll find that he was surrounding his life with prayer. He prayed to God faithfully, but he also gave to those in need. Let me say that again. He prayed faithfully, and he also gave to those in need. He didn't have an encounter with Jesus Christ yet, but his understanding of who God was, he prayed to God, and he also gave to the poor. If we can just drop a note here, I believe that the reason why this ministry is so successful, I believe the reason why this ministry grows is because of two reasons. Early on in the beginning of this ministry, we found it on the principles of prayer. We found it with the idea that we had to connect with God, but also we had to help those in need. And I believe that even in the economic downturn that this country is in, this ministry will continue to be successful. This ministry will continue to help people. That's why while other people are closing down, we're continuing to expand the work of Christ all around the world. That's why we're in Guyana. That's why we're in Jamaica, India, Nigeria, South Africa, Liberia, Ghana, and the United States. It's because of the fact that this ministry is based on two principles: sharing the gospel, connecting with God, and to continuing to help people. You know, I was back in my office, and I just want to see what the numbers look like. I was looking at this text, and I said, God, is this real? Is this real, that because we focus on prayer and helping people that you bless us? And so I looked at the numbers, and I looked at the numbers compared from last year to this time, from January 1st to May 13th, which is today, and I found out the significant thing. Right now, at this point, at this moment, we are above $54,484.79 in revenues compared to last year in an economic downturn. So I want to let you know right now, if we focus, if we keep our focus on helping people, God will take care of this work. It's not about me. It's not about Shande. It's not about the people that serve. It's about him and him being crucified and risen from the dead and helping somebody else. Somebody ought to say amen. Well, God honored Cornelius. God honored Cornelius' faithfulness, but he lacked this relationship with God's son, Jesus Christ. God sent Cornelius down to a place called Joppa to meet a man named Simon Peter. But at the same time, God was ministering to Peter to get him ready to go see Cornelius. See, remember, Cornelius was a Gentile, and Peter was preaching to those that were of the Jewish faith. He was a Jew. Cornelius was a Gentile, and Simon Peter, he was a Jew. And the Bible says that the Lord allowed a sheet of animals to appear before Simon Peter. And if you remember the story from a couple weeks ago, he put all these animals that he wasn't supposed to eat. But in the vision, he says, kill, slay, and eat. And Peter said, wait a second, I ain't touching that stuff. I don't do no swine, I don't even know cow, and I don't do no pigeon. We don't work like that, God. You already know my relationship with you. And God says, what I call clean, don't you call uncommon or unclean. And so therefore, Peter's perception, Peter's idea, his preconceived ideas about who could receive Christ had been changed. But then while he was having a vision, Cornelius was also having a vision. And then he went down to Joppa. Peter went down to Joppa and healed a Tabitha, raised Tabitha, the female disciple, up from the dead. And God set him up there so that where he can meet Cornelius. And that's where we left off a couple weeks ago in this text. And then when we get to the 33rd verse of this 10th chapter, Cornelius brings all his folks there with Peter. And he says these words, now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded of God. See, God had to get both of them ready, one to receive and to one to give. In order for the gospel to be preached, in order for the gospel to be effective, there's two things that have to happen. We have to be prepared as a body of Christ to go out and share it. But see, that is not what happens and is at the end of the story. God is touching somebody's heart right now, preparing them to receive the good news. Then our responsibility is to go out and share it so that they can be saved and receive the gift of everlasting life. Well, in verse 36 to 43, Peter tells them the narrative of Jesus. He says, first of all, in verse 37, he was baptized of John the Baptist to show forth his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If you remember Jesus, when he was baptized, the Bible says, lo, the heavens were open, and the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and lightning upon him, and then a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In verse 38, he talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing of those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In verse 39, he talked about how the Jews slew him on a tree. How many people know that Jesus died at Calvary on an old rugged cross? In verse 40, he says, and God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly. In verse 41, he says he didn't show him to everybody, but unto the witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Listen, I just want to give you a little news flash here. How many people know that Jesus Christ is alive? He's alive right now, right now. See, a lot of times we think that the resurrection was a moment where Jesus got up from the dead and he rose and then it's over. But I want to let you know that Christ the Lord is risen right now. Right now. Need a moment in time to check. Hold on a second. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right now. 10, 9, I'm trying to help you understand this. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right now. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right now. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right now. You're going to get it in a second. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right now. He's still alive right now. Christ the Lord is risen. Somebody say right now. Come on, grab hold of your neighbor and just shake him up real good. Right now. Come on, get a neighbor and help them understand that Christ is alive right now. He's alive right now. Right now, the Lord is risen indeed. Somebody ought to put your hands together and bless his name because he's alive and well. Come on, oh, somebody ought to take a praise break and just shout hallelujah. Ah! Woo! He's alive! Woo! Well, how do we know he's alive? You know, the story tells it like this. The disciples walked along the Emmaus Road, but then he sent them fishing, and then he came and ate with them. He met them and expended peace to them and breathed the Holy Spirit on them. He allowed Thomas to put his fingers in the hands where the nail prints were. He allowed him to put his hand in the side where the holes were, where the spear had went. We know that he is alive. Come on, just turn to your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor, right now. Right now, he's alive. He's alive. Come on, you ought to put your hands together and get excited about that this morning. Just shake your neighbor and tell him he's alive. Well, because he's alive, there's some things that occur. The first thing is found in verse 42. We preach. Somebody say, we preach. The first thing is we preach. He commanded us to preach to the people. As a believers in Lord Jesus Christ, as the Church of Jesus Christ, our primary responsibility is to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We don't have no fried chicken dinners. We don't sell no stuff. We don't have no fashion shows. We don't have no gimmicks. We don't have no parties. This is not a club. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. And we have come to do one thing, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died and he was buried and he got up with all power in his hands. Well, the second thing is found in the 43rd verse. That through his name, that whosoever, there's that whosoever thing again, that whosoever believe in him shall receive the remission of sins. The second thing that happens because he's alive is that sins are forgiven. I'm so glad that Carrie sang that song this morning. I'm forgiven.
not because of what I have done. A lot of people walk around with their chest held out. Oh, I'm super Christian. Got a big SC, super Christian, on their chest. But let me tell you something. It has nothing to do with who I am. It has to do with what he is. You know, I saw a thing on the computer earlier, and it had Intel inside. Well, I wanted to take that symbol and put it in my chest because it has Jesus inside. You have to understand is that because Jesus died on the cross and he came into my life, that's the reason why I'm forgiven. It's because he was forsaken. I'm accepted because he was condemned. I'm alive and as well, and his spirit lives in me because he died and rose again. Amazing love. How can it be? Woo! You have to understand. You don't know me, and I don't know you, but I know me. I know everything that I've done wrong, how much I've stepped outside of his will, but because of he's alive, I can have grace and abundant mercy, and my sins are forgiven. Somebody say forgiven. Well, because he's alive, we preach. The second thing is because our sins are forgiven. But the third thing here is that you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say the Holy Ghost. Now, ironically, this is experienced with Cornelius. Remember, Cornelius was a Gentile. And up until this point, the disciples believed that the presence of God, 11 disciples, remember Judas was hung himself, but then you had 11 disciples, and then you had this one additional disciple. And these disciples now only preach to the Jews because they believed that the Holy Spirit could only fall on those who were circumcised. But I want to let you know that Jesus died for everybody. And while Peter spoke these things concerning Jesus Christ, him being baptized, him doing miracles, him being crucified, and getting up from the dead, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost, somebody say the Holy Ghost, fell on them which heard the word, and they that were circumcised, which believed, were astonished, as many came with Peter, because the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to them, for they heard them speak with tongues. Now, this is one of those subjects nobody likes to talk about. Somebody say tongues. You have to understand there are three different types of tongues. When you read the Acts, the second chapter, when the day of Pentecost was coming, they were all in one accord in one place. The Holy Spirit fell on them and they spake with other tongues. Somebody say other tongues. That means other languages. Somebody say other languages. Get your neighbor and understand her. Say other tongues means other languages. That means she spoke in Spanish, but she never learned Spanish before. She spoke in Greek. He spoke in Italian. We spoke in languages that we did not learn, but were of earthly knowledge so that somebody else could see the miracle and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Somebody say other tongues. Well, there's another tongue. It's called the unknown tongue. The unknown tongue is a prophetic tongue that is declared. It should not be spoken aloud in the church unless there is an interpretation. That's where the gift of the Holy Spirit gives one to speak and proclaim God's word through the utterance of speaking in an unknown tongue, and then someone else interprets so that people can be understand and the church can be edified. That's why Paul says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies or proclaims the word of God out of the mouth of God, he edifies the church. So there is other tongues or other languages to declare God's word in a language that is known but you did not learn. There is unknown tongues, which is the prophetic word, which is declared by God and is interpreted so that the church can be edified. Well, there's one more tongue. There is a tongue called your heavenly prayer language. Now, the gift of tongues is the unknown tongue. Somebody say the gift of tongues. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say a gift. There's a lot of gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's the gift of tongues, gift of interpretation, gift of prophecy, gift of healings, gift of administration. There's an enormous amount of gifts that are available, the gift of helps. Those gifts are given to the church. He gives you one gift. He gives her another gift, gives her another gift, gives him another gift. But the gifts are for the church. But your heavenly prayer language, what flows out of your belly, is your communication between you and God, which the Holy Spirit makes utterance, which is not known unto man, but is your communication between you and God. And that is the tongues, or the prayer language, that is available to every single believer. It's for you. Everybody put yourself and say, it's for me. It's for me. And a lot of people are challenged with this idea. Wait a second. Everybody can do this? Yes, it is the presence of the Holy Spirit overpowering you in such a way that the Spirit make its utterance and praise the will of the Father concerning the thing that you have desire to be fixed. Can somebody say amen? Well, let me unpack this a little bit. See, you have to understand that the Holy Spirit, when you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and is present in your life. You are saved. Jesus, his body did not jump inside of you, but the Holy Spirit came inside of you and dwelt in you. But it's like the process of getting drunk. Anybody ever get drunk in here? Don't lie. You know you've been drinking. Yeah, some of y'all drunk right now, but if you've been drunk before, you know the process of getting drunk. You don't get drunk off of one sip. First of all, you get some friends around, and you say, this for the brothers that ain't here. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Yep, she laughed. She was there. And then you pass it around. You take one sip, and you're feeling all right? Little pep in your step. Feel a little happy. Take another sip. And then you keep drinking, and then it gets all in your walk, and then it gets all in your talk, and it starts to come out of your pores, and no matter how much V8 juice you drink, how many mints you take, somebody looking down the street can look across the street and say, you know what? That's a drunk. Well, it's the same thing with the presence of God. You don't get drunk or filled or overshadowed with the presence of God's Spirit off of one drink. Yes, you get saved. You have the gift of everlasting life. But what you need to do is continually come back and take another drink. Continually come back, take another drink. Come back and take another drink. Come back and take another drink. And as you continue to pray, to fast, read God's word, then the presence, the Shekinah glory of God will overshadow you. And the Bible says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water from your soul. And this he spake of the Spirit, for they did not receive it yet because Jesus had not been glorified, but he wants to give you the presence of his Spirit and overshadow you, that the Spirit of God can flow through you. And the Bible says these Gentiles, the people that they thought could not receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Can I come down your street this morning? A lot of people discredit who you are. They think because you might be down on your luck today that they can't see the potential that you have for tomorrow. But I want to let you know that no matter what state you are in life, God's Spirit, his presence, does not have a price that you can pay, because the price was paid on Calvary. When Jesus died on the cross and he was buried and he got up with all power in his hand and he showed himself of many infallible proofs, and then he ascended into heaven on the 40th day, and then 10 days later, while they were sitting in the upper room, the Holy Spirit was given and they spake with other tongues, and then they began to preach and continue to preach, and people were filled with the presence of the Spirit and they spake with other tongues. Today I want to challenge you. Get to the place where you are so connected with God that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water from the soul. Because he's alive, we preach. Because he's alive, our sins are forgiven. And because he's alive, we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come on, put your hands together and bless God for his word today. With everyone standing on your feet this morning, I want to let you know that Jesus died. If you didn't get the message yet, he died. But 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right now, he's alive. He's alive and well. And because he's alive, he did it for you. And you can become part of the work of Christ and be part of the family of God. You know, it's something wonderful about being part of the family of God. It's not based on how much you have or don't have. It isn't based upon how tall, short, skinny, wide, how black, white, Asian, Hispanic, or whatever. He died for the whole world. That includes you. But if you want everlasting life, you have to accept him as your Savior. Sure, he died for the Muslim, but the Muslim needs to come and accept him. He died for the Hare Krishna, but the Hare Krishna needs to accept him. He died for the Jehovah Witness, but the Jehovah Witness needs to accept him. He died for the Jew, but the Jew has to accept him. He died for you, but you got to accept him to have the gift of everlasting life so that your sins can be forgiven and you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This morning, if you want to be saved, if you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to change today, come on down. Today is your day. Come on. God wants you. Come on. Put your hands together. Come on. Come on. Encourage somebody. Today is your day. It's the best day of the rest of your life. Jesus Christ died on a cross and he was buried and he got, that's it. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's one. Come on. Come on. Come on. God wants you. Today is your day. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come to Jesus right now. He wants to save your soul. He wants to change your life. Today is your day. Come on, come on, come on, come on. God wants you. Is it somebody else? Now listen, maybe you're already saved, but you don't have a place to call your church. I really think that this is the best place since sliced bread. I really do. I love this place. I love this place because this is a place where we're committed to praying and seeking God. That's it. Come on. This is a place where we help those in need, not only here in Philadelphia, but in Philadelphia, what center city? Philadelphia, West Philadelphia, Pottstown, Guyana, Jamaica, India, Nigeria, South Africa, Ghana, all around the world. People's lives are being changed because of this little place on Spring Garden Street. God can use you for something great. You know my story. I'm just a boy from Tasker Projects. You know, I was sitting in a meeting with the task force and the mayor this week, and I wasn't invited, but, you know, sometimes God opens a door, even though people close doors. You know, God gives you a way in. See, I didn't come under their authority. I came under the authority of Jesus Christ. And they asked, well, how did you get here? Well, Sister Janie Blackwell brought me in, so right now I'm a member of her staff. But you know what? God always puts you in a place where he wants you to be. See, Cornelius and Peter would never have met unless God had orchestrated. But when I was in that meeting, I said, the reason why I'm here, I come in the name of Jesus Christ. Because there's no other name which is in heaven or in the earth by which men can be saved. And today, that while we're here to let you know that the purpose of what we do is to share the good news of Jesus and to help people. And there's no regulation. There's no law. There's no handcuffs strong enough to hold us, to stop us from declaring God's word and doing his work. And if you want to be part of a church like that, come on down. Today is your day. Today is your day. Come on.